Thank the Lord this morning for each one that's here, and appreciate your all's faithfulness this morning. So thank you all for coming out, and trust the Lord will just meet with us in a special way today. If you would, if you know the chorus, and I don't know the verse that goes with it, but if you will, maybe Renee could lead us in the chorus of the song, Beautiful, Something Good.
Something beautiful. Something good. Oh, my confusion, He understood. Oh, the hatred over Him was brokenness
and strife,
but He
thank the Lord. I have a very simple message this morning that we've had a lot going. We've been in camp meeting, and the Lord's given me some different messages that I didn't have opportunity to preach, but I'm always want the Lord to give the message for the time and the place. And it's like, Lord, what do you have for us? Sunday's coming up at home. What do you have? And the Lord just gave me a very simple message on the subject of beautiful. And I'd like to begin in Psalms 19 in the first verse. Psalms 19 and 1. David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." I'd like us to consider for a moment, the scripture here says that the heavens declare the glory of God. I know some of you all live in the country, and when we get out from the city lights, to be able on a clear night to look up into the sky, I'll tell you, it's beautiful, isn't it? To see the thousands of stars glittering in the heavens, truly they declare the glory of God. And to look at the beauty of creation, I know there's beauty so many different places you can go and find beauty. Those of you that have been to the Grand Canyon, it's majestic. Just to look at that from the, and then the snow-capped mountains in the northwest, the Rocky Mountains through there, it's beautiful. Places I've been, as I'm sure all of you have been, out in forest. And where just you find those special spots where there might be a stream running through the middle of an old growth type forest. That's beautiful. I mean, there's something about that that you're closer to God in the sense that we don't find, it's not that we have to go out in nature to find God, and I'm thankful for that. And yet, the creation of God declare His glory. And there's something about seeing the handiwork of God. The word beautiful that we'd like to consider this morning, it means pleasing to the senses or the mind. Another definition of beautiful is to a very high standard. You know, all of those that you are married have daughters. I know they like it when you just look, if you just turn to them and say, "You're beautiful." You know, that makes it, it's saying you are high standard. You're quality. You know, this is quality. Synonyms for beautiful: fascinating, graceful, magnificent, marvelous, attractive. In one of the other words for beautiful, it means appealing. When you see something, you say, "That's beautiful." There's something that's drawing you. And we look at nature, it's beautiful. And you know, every place has its own beauty. Some people say, "Well, Missouri, it's not." And it's like, wait, you just drive, just, there are so many places that really are beautiful in Missouri. There are beautiful places. And then some say, "Yeah, but Oklahoma, they don't." There is something beautiful to me when I drive in Oklahoma in some of those plain areas. It's beautiful to me. There's something there that draws. There are so many different types of beauty this morning. We live in a world that is just, it seems like there's a lot of ugliness in our world. But you know where the ugliness has come from? It's come from sin. The ugliness of sin, it's not appealing. Look at, maybe we'll get to that in a moment, about a little bit more of that ugliness. But think about beautiful things. And I won't necessarily just open it up maybe, but do you know, to me, there's something beautiful about seeing a little child walking through a store or the parking lot or in the hand, holding the hand of their mom or dad. When I see that, there's something beautiful about that. There's something beautiful about seeing a couple that's been married for 50 years walking down the road together, holding each other's hands. That's beautiful. There's something about that that speaks that you're still together and you still love one another. That's appealing. There's something beautiful about that. A mother on her knees praying. When I think about my mother as a little boy coming into the living room and seeing those marks across her forehead, that's beautiful to me this morning. She was down with her head pressed against the couch or the chair long enough for it to have left red marks. That's beautiful. Someone at Guthrie and I had mentioned, and I know that the point they were making, I'd like to make a counterpoint. They talk about when people testify or when they, when maybe they're trying to testify and they're crying and just, you know, tears make a face ugly and it's just red and blotched and tears, and that's, you know what? That's beautiful to me. When someone is moved by the Spirit of the Lord and they can't get something out and maybe very well, or they've just been so touched and they're crying and there's some tears welling up in their eyes and maybe their words aren't coming out just right and their face is a little contorted, that is beautiful because it speaks of the presence of God. It speaks that someone has been moved by the Spirit. That's beautiful. It is beautiful when someone gets up from the altar, and it's not always this way. You don't always see it as visibly, but to me it's beautiful. And I've seen it many times when someone has come to the altar and been seeking the Lord and they get up from prayer and you can just see that this load is gone. You can just see that they're at rest. That's beautiful. It was beautiful to me the other day, and I won't even say the name, but you all may know, but if you were here, there were some different ones that had prayed, and to see an older brother, a saint of God, get down on his knees to spend some time with the Lord, that's not reproachful. That's beautiful. That someone that said, Lord, I just want to draw closer to you and I need something from you, or maybe I need to give you something, to humble their heart before the Lord. That's beautiful this morning. Oh, isn't life beautiful? We look around at the world, and I know I mentioned there's some ugly things out there. You know what's ugly to me is, and to the Lord, and when you see someone speaking harshly, it's like that's ugly. That's not pretty. That's when you see someone that's proud and arrogant and they just kind of have that, and you can't judge by the way someone looks and walks. You know that? There are some people that naturally they walk upright. And you say, well, who do they think they are? It's in the genetics for some of us, and you can't help it. And there are some people that, you know, there's this, maybe this presence, like, oh, what do they think? But I'm talking about people that they have this thinking that they are better than someone else. I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I'm better, I'm just on this higher plane than everybody else. I'm richer, I'm more capable. You know, that's ugly. We all have things that we're blessed with, and we all have weaknesses. We're all together, and it's ugly when pride is just ugly. Yes. Pride is just ugly. To see a husband and wife bickering is just, should I just say it's not pretty? But do you know it's beautiful to be able to see marriages that they're humbling themselves? You know, humility is beautiful. Humility is not weakness. Humility is beautiful. Have you all seen the signs? And I used to see them more. I don't know if they're still out or not. The sign that says, "We buy ugly houses." Is that still out? Is that still a thing? I remember someone getting up years ago in service, and they had lived a rough life. And they were testifying about, they saw that song, "We Buy Ugly Houses," and they said, "That was me. That was me." Do you know the Lord is in the business of taking what is ugly in our lives and making something beautiful out of it? Because the reality is this, all of us at some time in our life, we were ugly. We had some attributes that weren't real pretty. We had some things, and I'm not talking about the pock marks on my face. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude or a spirit, or, you know, last week we talked about letting go. Do you know unforgiveness can be an ugly thing when it causes bitterness? But do you know what's beautiful? Beautiful is when we let it go. Beautiful is when someone hasn't treated you right, you turn and you release that bitterness and you release that holding over their head and you let it go. That makes something beautiful. So if we see something that's not real pretty in our life, do you know the Lord's in the business of taking what's ugly and making it beautiful? Carnality, anger, selfishness. Selfishness is ugly, isn't it? It's what I want. It's all about me. That's not real pretty. But you know, the Lord wants our lives to be beautiful this morning. He wants our lives. He wants our attitudes. He wants our spirit. He wants our marriages. He wants our relationships. He wants the body of Christ. He wants that to be something that's beautiful. And I am thankful the Lord is still in the business of making something beautiful. Something that's not attractive. Something that's broken down. Something that has marred in the hands of God. The Lord is in the business of taking that and making something beautiful. Psalms 149 in the fourth verse. The scripture says, Psalms 149 verse 4. It says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people." Do you remember what he does? He will beautify the meek with salvation. He'll beautify the meek. To beautify means to adorn. It means to honor there. You know, the Lord beautifies people with salvation. But to really get hold of salvation, it takes humility. Coming to the Lord, recognizing that I really don't have it all together. I have needs in my life, and Lord, I need you in my life. And I acknowledge the price that you paid on Calvary. You know, when we humble our heart like that, it says the Lord will beautify us. He'll beautify us. And I know all of us can talk and point to people that we've known, and Lord willing, we can look at our own lives. But just even recently, people that were just in sin, and you saw the ugliness of sin, and yet you saw them humble their heart to God, and it is just beautiful. Someone that was saved recently told me, they said something about their ugly face just last week. They said something about their ugly face, and all I could think was, you know what? I don't see ugly. I see beautiful because I heard his testimony, and I saw what God did in his life. That's beautiful. And do you know that I will just say this? Beauty is something that goes way beyond the outward. Beauty is in the spirit. Because the world is seeking for outward beauty, and little do they know there is nothing more beautiful than how God created it. When God created the world, he said it was good. Do you know when God created you this morning, it was good? Let's not try to improve on what God's done. He did a good job. And there is beauty even in the outward person. And I was going to read the scripture maybe in a few minutes on that, but there's beauty in that. But beauty is in the spirit. And I have seen what might look beautiful on the outside get ugly real fast. Do y'all know people that in a fleshly sense, you might say, this is someone that by the standards of the world, it just beautifully, beautiful on the outside. Man, you might say, is very handsome, and a woman just beautiful. There's something just about the features that you would say they're maybe a step above. It's a high quality. But do you know, living with something beautiful on the outside that's not beautiful on the inside, that's not pleasant living. Pleasant living is recognizing what true beauty is. And I remember as a child, and I believe I've shared, I remember my dad bringing that point out, teaching us as his sons that, you know what? You don't just want to think that you're going to marry based on just the outward. You know? Day in and day out, beauty is something that goes way beyond the outward. You see something that looks beautiful on the outside, and then you see that ugly, proud, arrogant spirit or sinful things in their life. It's like, that's not pretty. Now, I remember, and I don't recommend anybody that's married ever do this, okay? But I remember hearing some in the Lord, where these were wonderful spiritual people as they grew, but when they first got married, it sounds like they did have some needs. But I remember they got married, and right after they got married, the wife had responded in a certain way, and her husband said, you look so ugly when you act like that. Probably not the best thing to say in a newly, for newlyweds. Probably not the better part of wisdom. However, the point remains that, the Lord wants us to be a beautiful people. And if there are things in our life that we see, that's not real pretty. Do you know that the Lord has grace to beautify? He has grace to make something beautiful. There's a scripture, and you all know it. It's Isaiah 61, where it was a prophecy of Christ when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." But if you read on down in that passage, in verse 3, it says that he would get to appoint to them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for what? For ashes. Beauty for ashes and the joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Those things that are burned up, isn't that where that ashes come from? Things have been burned over. Have you ever had someone say, I'm just burned. I'm just burned over. It's like they're on fire and the result of that. But do you know what the Lord can do when you're feeling burned? Or you're just feeling that you've just been, there's just ashes left. You know what the Lord can do? He can give you beauty for ashes. For what has been destroyed. For what has been broken down in our lives. There is power in Jesus Christ that he can come and take what's been burned over. And he can make something beautiful of it. You know the Lord does that in our trials many times. I think all of us, if we can look back at some of the most difficult things we went through, even if it was a consequence of sin in our world, because we suffer because of sin in our world, that when we open up our heart to the Lord in some of our deepest distresses, in most difficult trials, the Lord can make something beautiful in our life out of that difficulty. Some of the people that have shown the brightest in the beauty of God in their life are people that live with difficult people. I'm thinking about a brother that, and Brother Marty actually talked about, Brother White in West Virginia. I grew up hearing about another brother in California. His wife was just flat out difficult. He would go to church and she would lock him out of the house and he'd have to just sit on the porch for long periods of time until finally his wife would open up the door to let him in. She was ugly. And I don't know what she looked like on the outside, but her attitude and her spirit, she was just contrary. But you know, this brother let that make something beautiful in his life through getting closer to the Lord. Not getting a difficult attitude, not getting this resentful, bitter, becoming bitter. And you know what would be easy to do that? But rather, he drew close to the Lord. The Lord made something beautiful in his life. And he was a blessing to many people because of the graces that he allowed the Lord to work in and through him. Remember the prodigal son, the story? That was ugly, wasn't it? Where he ended up in the pig pen. But you know, it was beautiful to remember the love of the Father that was there to receive his son. Someone told me this week that is away from God. They sent me a text one of the last days of the meeting. And one of the things they were saying is they said, thanks for being a friend. But they said, I just feel like, and I almost think they used the word garbage. This was not someone young. You know, the Lord's love reaches out to us when we are so ill, so unworthy. And I made such a mess of my life, and I just don't feel like I'm worthy of it. God's love is beautiful this morning. God's love is just reaching out to everyone. I want to enjoy the beautiful things of our world. This week, you'll see the ugliness of sin. You'll see the ugliness of what sin has caused around us. But if we could just remember, we have so many beautiful things in life. God's love, His graces, and salvation. What He did on our life, it's beautiful. There's something else that's beautiful this morning, and that is the church of God. Psalms 48. I'd like to read in Psalms 48. It was speaking about Jerusalem, which is a type of the church. Zion. Psalms 48. We'll just read verse 1 and 2. He said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. Now that word situation, kind of wonders like, what's that talking about? It would be better translated elevation. All right, it was talking about Jerusalem, in particular Mount Zion. It was elevated. So when you began to approach Jerusalem, you would see a city that was fortified, that was lifted up above the other cities that were down around it. And it said, the beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Jerusalem was the place that God made a decision. This is where I'm going to abide. This is the place of my temple. This is where when people came and they saw Jerusalem, this is where you could find the presence of God. This was a beautiful place lifted up above. You know, that's what the church of God is this morning. I am not interested in exalting in and of itself the people that we're in and no one else has it. But I am thankful to be part of the church of God this morning. It's beautiful. And I will say God's church, those that have come in by way of the blood, they are lifted up and exalted above the religions of the world. It's beautiful to me that there is a place that we can come and actually lift up Christ. A place that we can come and say, Lord, we want to do your will. If the Bible teaches it, this is what we want to do. A place that we can come and hear the Word of God preached and be in fellowship with like-minded people, that the Bible is our creed. It's not what came out of a meeting 100 years ago. It's not, well, what fellowship are you and what church are you and what? No, the church of God is above that. The church of God was not made by man. It was founded on Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of the living God. And that is what we are about this morning. Beautiful for situation. I don't want to get to the place that we don't talk about it anymore. The church of God is beautiful. We have something to enjoy, a place to come and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You know, that's beautiful. There's other scriptures that talk about it. We won't take the time maybe this morning to read it all. But the Lord Jesus came and he brought something beautiful in our lives. The scripture in Psalms 96 says, worship the Lord in the what of holiness? You remember? In the beauty. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's a high quality. It's a step above everything else. There's something drawing about that. Do you know, I know we don't have musical entertainment this morning. Do you notice I said musical entertainment? We don't have that. But do you know, there is nothing more beautiful. Even I know, Wednesday night, there were just a few of us, and I know we kind of had to work our way through a few of those songs. But the reality is this. The reality is that there is nothing more beautiful than people that put their heart into it and are singing in the Spirit of the Lord. There it ministers. And we have something beautiful in the church of God. It's not about entertainment. It's not about bringing the piano and the band up here. It's beautiful to worship the Lord just like Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. And to follow the pattern and the examples of the apostles and the early morning church, they did not use musical instruments in their worship service. You can study the history. And most of the major denominations, you don't hear this from those churches anymore, but most of the major denominations in this country used to teach against the use of musical instruments in worship service. It wasn't that it was wrong to have them in the home. It wasn't that it was wrong to play them. But most of the major denominations used to recognize that this is not what worship is about. Worship is about something that comes from the heart. And it did not become widespread until about, and it's been a while since I've looked at my notes on it, it's been about 120 years ago, 140 years ago, as people began to get more modern and wanted to draw people in with entertainment, they began to open up the doors to that kind of thing. The Church of God, there's a reason why we don't do that. It's not just because of tradition. It's because we want to worship the Lord like He taught us and like the pattern of the early morning church. And you know, there's nothing more beautiful than anointed a cappella singing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to be able to come and just to be able to rest. That the government is on Christ's shoulders. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that in the Church of God, the government doesn't rest on this minister or the minister over here that has the loudest voice. The government of the Church of God rests on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. There's rest in that. People say, well, how do you get in? Through the blood. Where's your headquarters? It's up in heaven. Yeah, I know, but here on earth, it's still up in heaven. That's beautiful. That's exalted above other churches and other religions and other fellowships. I'm thankful for the beauty of God's church this morning. Thankful for the beauty of His people. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, he was speaking about the outward man and the inward man. The outward woman and the inward woman. He said, who's adorning? 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. And that word apparel, he said, well, we're supposed to wear something. That word apparel parallels with where it speaks about costly array. It's talking about wearing clothes that are expensive, that are prideful, worn for the purpose of drawing undue attention to oneself. He said, let it not be these things. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Do you know our bodies, our outward man perishes? You know, we get old, we start getting the crinkles and wrinkles, and we start getting we're not as strong as we one time, and maybe one time we did stand upright, and we start getting a little stooped, and you know, that's not where true beauty's found. And that's where in the Church of God, the emphasis is not on the outward. We're not to neglect the outward man. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But there is nothing more beautiful than the way God made it. And so he said here, he instructed us, don't let it be this wearing of gold and jewelry and the fixing up the outward man like the way of the world. You're beautiful. You know, holiness is beautiful in the outward man. There is something that is beautiful about the wholesomeness, the natural wholesomeness like God made us. That's beautiful, saints. I think it's all right to still acknowledge that, isn't it? I think as fathers and grandfathers and parents, we need to reinforce that to our children. We need to reinforce that to our daughters and to our wives and to the sister. I want the sisters this morning to know there is nothing more beautiful than holiness. And don't think that we're saying, well, we're not talking about the outward. It's just your spirit inside. I want you to know something. Even in the outward, there is nothing more beautiful than the presence of God in your life shining through that natural wholesomeness, how God created you. That's beautiful this morning. Let's never be ashamed of that. Holiness in the inward man, that inward man, those inward graces, that meek and quiet spirit. You know, this week, can I challenge us all to go be beautiful? Now, I look in the mirror and there's some things I couldn't fix. And you know, this morning it's like, well, I still need to wear a mask. You know, this too shall pass. But here's the thing. Here's the reality. That there is nothing like the graces of Christ. That, you know, I like to be with it. Why do you like to be with some people? Is it really because they're just so beautiful on the outside? Is that why we like to be with certain people? No. It's what? Yeah. It's how they're presenting themselves. It's their spirit. It's how they're relating. Yeah, let's go be beautiful this week. Let's be beautiful in our conversations, in your marriages and how you talk as a people of God, when they're in your workplace. Let's go out and let's be beautiful by the power of God. He will beautify us. And if something we look at something and say, oh, that wasn't real attractive, let's not point it out in everybody else's life. But if we recognize that, you know, that's not a real attractive attitude to have. Lord, would you beautify me? Lord, would you give me that grace that I can overcome that and have something valuable in its place? I would like to close with one more scripture. Thank you for your attention this morning. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, and it's repeated in the New Testament. It talks about feet. Now, do y'all think feet are beautiful? I've heard some people say feet are just gross. Feet are just, I don't feel that way necessarily, but here's the thing. The scripture talks about feet, doesn't it? It says how beautiful are the feet upon the mount. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace. You know, it's beautiful to see someone reaching out to someone in need. That's beautiful to me. Someone that is taking their time and expending their mental energy to reach out to someone to show them the love of God. That's beautiful. Let's be beautiful this week. How beautiful are the feet? And I know feet, there is something naturally, seemingly unattractive and kind of like you don't want to touch someone else's feet. Some people, it seems like they can't even touch their own hardly. I don't know. But there's something about feet that the Lord wants us to have beautiful feet that are doing the work of God. And it starts at home, but it extends out with your neighbors, with your friends this week. Let's be challenged to have beautiful feet, to reach out in love, say an encouraging word to someone, say a word to share what the Lord has done for you, and you too will have beautiful feet. I am thankful for the beauty that God has given us this morning. I know that this is just a little bit. There's a lot more in the scripture, and there's a lot more that we could share with one another this morning. But if it can just kind of encourage us to start thinking towards the beautiful things that God has given and what He has done and will do in our lives. I am thankful this morning for beauty. The beauty of salvation, the beauty of the church of God, the beauty of being able to reach out to someone else in love. And I am thankful for all of you this morning. You are beautiful this morning. May God bless you with a beautiful week because of His grace. Amen.